VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And I'm so glad you joined us today, folks, for a very important program. Never in my lifetime have I seen such a tidal wave of socialism hitting our nation. I mean, this tidal wave is striking at values, it's striking at private property rights, it's striking at parental authority, it's striking at religious freedom, it's striking at the very heart and soul of our United States Constitution. And as we've discussed on a recent program, this issue is really a revolution in the making to completely dismantle our constitutional republic and turn it over to socialism. It's confronting us on many fronts, and what happens in this election is going to have a great determination as to the destiny of our nation. Today we're going to see how socialism is working hand in hand with our educational system across the nation. Back with us today, we welcome William J. Federer. Bill is a nationally known speaker, historian, author, president of Amerisearch. That's a publishing company that's dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. He's a speaker in the American Minute Daily Broadcast. He's authored many books, including America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, The Original 13, History of Religion in America's First 13 States, Who is the King in America, and also the newly released Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, in which he analyzes how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. Bill, so good to have you back with us here today on Crosstalk.
Jim, great to be with you.
Bill, this transformation in our educational system that's going on today, it's not by accident. And I've got a copy of your book in front of me, the socialism book, The Real History from Plato to Present. And you quote Plato on page 31 as saying this: "When the true philosopher kings are born in state, they will set in order their own city. They will take possession of the children who will be unaffected by the habits of their parents. These they will train in their own habits and laws." Bill, they really believe that children belong to the state. Is that right?
Right. It's the children are the prize. In other words, computers, you have software, hardware. The question is, who gets to load the software? Now, God has given us a software of families and loving each other. They want to put in their viruses, their malware, their corrupted file. And so all the way back to Plato, it's who gets to program the next generation. And Plato says, take the kids away from the families before they've been affected with the habits of their parents and indoctrinate them with noble lies. Actually calls them lies, but the lies help this philosopher king, this dictator, to stay in power. So it's okay. Now, you fast forward 2,000 years, and you got Sir Thomas More's Utopia. It's a book that he wrote, a fictitious island. The word utopia means nowhere, off the coast of South America. Structured society, but guess what? Same thing. The government takes the children away from the families. Matter of fact, there are no families. The government decides what couples get to have kids, and the government takes the kids away from the couples and brings them in and indoctrinates them and chooses their career that they have to work their entire life. It's totally structured where the government controls everybody's life.
My. And I'm looking here, and you mentioned that computer analogy. You report that on page 233 in your book, and here's what you write. Plato explained that in the perfect society, the governing class would not only dictate what is acceptable behavior, but also determine each child's skills and abilities and assign them their work for life. Just like in computer terminology, there's hardware and software. A child's body and brain is the hardware, but the ideology they are taught is the software, which give them their identity and purpose. Bill, let's talk about that ideology.
Right. So it's giving up your values and just embracing the state's values. We saw this in the Bible when King Saul is telling his soldiers to kill these priests that showed up, and they wouldn't. They hesitated because they realized they were individually accountable to God. Well, this guy Doeg the Edomite just pulls out a sword and kills them all. What happened? Doeg had surrendered his conscience to Saul. And he said, "Saul, you tell me to kill, I'll kill." This is what dictators want. They want a population that will just obey them. In ancient Egypt, only 1% of the country could read. Reading and writing was the scribes' secret knowledge. Only the deep state ruling class could read. Everybody else was ignorant. And anthropologist Claude Levi Strauss said writing's main function was to facilitate the enslavement of other human beings. So it wasn't really unusual for ancient Israel to come out of Egypt and have the whole population educated where they could read. But now that the whole population is educated, the idea is, they have to educate them with lies in order to institute their agenda.
And you were with us. We did a full program on just communist goals. But again, just one of those goals, we won't go through all those, but on page 198, one of those goals is to emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents, attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. I mean, parents are not in the picture here at all.
No. And, you know, one of the dominoes effects that I've seen is the country is controlled by laws. Laws are controlled by politicians. Politicians are controlled by voters. Voters are controlled by public opinion. You can't vote for somebody you don't know about, and you want to know what everybody's saying about them. But public opinion is controlled by education, by the media, and by the internet, right? Because now, so whoever controls education, the media, the internet controls the country. And so this is their goal. They pretty well have the internet with five main companies sharing information and deciding who to censor. You know, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, whatever the other. And then the educational public system they've controlled. And then the media and the Hollywood. So we have an uphill battle ahead for us, but the battle is who gets to load the software on the next generation's brains.
Right. And one of the issues we see taking place, of course, is the battle of textbooks and the rewriting of history. And, Bill, I know that you're really excel in this area of history, but we've got those who are trying to totally knock it down. We've got this 1619 project that is underway that's all really a part of rewriting history and brainwashing young people.
Right, so it's called deconstruction, and it's where you have to separate a people from their past, get them into a neutral where they do not remember where they came from, and then you brainwash them into the future you have planned for them. Sort of a gene replacement therapy only for a culture. Take out the old identity, and you put in a new. And this has been used throughout history. During the French Revolution, they wanted to de-Christianize France. They changed, instead of 1792, they made it the new year one. And they dated every year, year two of the Republic, year three of it. They didn't want done in the year of the Lord. They didn't even want a seven-day week because it went back to the Bible. So they came up with a 10-day week. They wanted, because 10 was the number of man, because you count with 10 fingers and 10 toes. So they made every measurement in France divisible by 10. But this deconstruction, you tear down statues, you rewrite the history books. Here's a quote from George Orwell, and he wrote this in his dystopian novel, 1984. He says, every record had to be destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day. And then he said, history has not stopped. He says, whoever controls the past controls the future, but whoever controls the present controls the past. So you get your trajectory of where you're headed from the past. But if they can control the present, they get to decide what's written in the textbooks about the past. So it changes the trajectory. In psychology, they even have something of called false memories, where the psychologists, you know, plant memories and they keep repeating it to the person. And before you know it, the person actually thinks they had the memory, even though they never did. But it's a psychological phenomenon. And but this deconstruction is a sales technique. So if I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I do is I start rattling off a bunch of negative things about the toothpaste you're currently using. You're still brushing with that old stuff. It'll eat the enamel and dry out your gums. And you're repulsed by it. Like, hey, I didn't know that. And then I have you in a neutral where you're open-minded to all the toothpaste out there. Then I can give you my pitch for this tartar-controlled breast freshener toothpaste. So what they do is they tell the students intentionally negative things about the founding fathers. They took land from India and sold people into slavery. They were chauvinists, and the students are repulsed by them. And other kids are like, well, we're open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there? Then you give them your pitch for LGBT or socialism or Islam. And one of their textbooks that they've used is Howard Zinn's, Z-I-N-N, Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. And all it is saying every single person that had anything to do with the United States was evil, bad, and they have been teaching this in the public schools since 1980. And so now you got these kids coming out. Here's America is the country where there's more individual freedom and opportunity than planet Earth has ever seen. Mm. And now they've gotten these kids to hate themselves. It's actually, you know, the part of the coronavirus is it turns your immune system against your body.
Yeah.
And the cells start attacking, you know, healthy cells. And that's what's happened. You turn citizens against their own country, so they hate their own country. It's like it's like hypochondria. It's like rabies in a dog. It's done through this brainwashing technique of deconstruction.
And it's happening over and over again. And, Bill, I mean, whether it be that of the pilgrims coming here to this land, whether it be that of Christopher Columbus, whether it be that of the founding fathers, constantly this deconstruction method is being utilized and it's being taught and being, you know, used as a brainwashing of what our true American history is.
You know, I was reading a quote from Senate Chaplain Peter Marshall back during the 1940s during the Cold War, and they were just beginning this communist tactic of deconstruction. And he writes, along with our higher education came a debunking contest, a sort of national sport. It was smarter to revile than revere, more fashionable to depreciate than appreciate. Debunking is a sign of decaying foundations. But again, it's a turning, it's now called cancel culture. It starts off with you mocking the past and making fun. People might have been familiar with the 1975 movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Well, it mocked King Arthur. Now, King Arthur was this noble character that self-government, Knights of the Round Table. In other words, instead of being a dictator enforcing his will, this was a leader that says, no, we're one among equals. And this was a foundational concept in England, but they mocked their foundation. Years ago, I knew a guy who wrote for Saturday Night Live, and he said, you know, and he would make fun of Christians, and way back then it was, you know, Tammy Faye and all that other stuff, and he would watch it, and so for somehow he watched enough of it, and he converted and became a Christian. Then he started, you know, explaining and revealing their tactics, but he said Norman Lear came in and told them, make them laugh at what they hold sacred. Make them laugh at what they hold sacred. So first you joke about it, and then you don't value it as much. And then you begin to introduce the new thought, and you make it that if you're a nice person, you're going to tolerate the new thought. And then they begin to portray people that had the old thoughts as backwards. And then it goes from backwards to being hateful, to being terrible, and they gradually take you step by step in this direction. It's a tactic that goes back to Greek theater.
Well,
I tell you what, interrupt me at any time.
Yeah, I'm just saying we're up against a break right now. We're talking with Bill Federer. Socialism and education is our topic today. And after the break, we're going to tell you how you can obtain a copy of his book. It is, in my opinion, one of the most important Bill has written, as it really is a wake-up call. It's a warning as to where this nation is headed and the forces that are at work right now to turn us into a socialistic nation. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, the short-period comets, like Halley's Comet, can make only a few trips around the Sun before they completely disintegrate. Yet there are a number of short-period comets. Obviously, to support a billions-of-years-old solar system, evolutionists need an inexhaustible supply of short-period comets. Thus, they had proposed a belt of comets called the Kuiper Belt orbiting the Sun near Neptune. They had no evidence of such a zone of comets, but figured it must be there to salvage their theory. Well, now we have the telescopes and spacecraft able to search this zone, and we've found less than 4% of what they need. Thus, this dreamland of comets needed to salvage Big Bang ideas has been disproved. What hasn't been disproved is the creation story. That's the one that's given back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
William J. Federer, our guest here today on Crosstalk, talking about socialism and education. Friends, I don't know that I've ever interviewed somebody four times on regarding the same book. There is so much information in his book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. After our first interview with Bill, we received an email from an individual listener here to Crosstalk who said, thanks for this very important broadcast on socialism and Mr. Federer. As a man of the boomer generation, I was aware only of the basic ideology. Your broadcast has really made me aware of the inner workings of what is occurring in schools and society. I was somewhat stunned at the eye-opener talk you both conducted. Thank you again for this report. I ordered the book, and others should too. Friends, if you'd like to obtain a copy of this book, it's entitled Socialism. It is the real history from Plato to the present, how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. We are making this available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. It's available online at vcyamerica.org. You'll find it right there in the scroll on the homepage there, vcyamerica.org, or you may call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Ask for a copy of Socialism. Now, we've had some on the waiting list waiting for the book. Those books arrived here yesterday. We got them, Karen got them all packaged up and out in the mail. And so we've got a fresh supply right now. So the books will be going out. Books ordered this afternoon, Lord willing, will be going out in tomorrow's mail. But you can call 800-729-9829. It is packed full of information on so many different issues, as we've done a full program just on voter fraud. He addresses that in the book. We've done a full program on communist goals. Those are outlined in his book. And also this matter of education also is permeated throughout this book, as well as many other topics. Bill, you've got a quote in your book from, it's on page 83, from Austrian-American economist Ludwig von Mises, who in his book Planned Chaos wrote this: how innocent youth naively allow themselves to be organized, being useful innocents, confused and misguided sympathizers. They are being misguided. How is that taking place?
Right. Well, Lenin called them useful idiots because they don't really know what's going on. It's this idea that you want to get them emotionally involved, thinking that they're pushing a noble issue, when in reality, they're a pawn in a bigger issue. David Horowitz was an author, and he said how the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, would say that the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. He goes, civil rights, women rights, he goes, those are sub-issues. He says that those serve the purpose of destabilizing the country so that the bigger issue can take place, and that's seizing power. And so what we have to understand is that when they think that it's a good thing to take care of the poor, they have to stop and realize God gives commands to five groups: individuals, families, employer, employees, churches, and government. Individuals, yes, they can take care of the poor. There's no commands for the family to take care of the poor. Those commands are husbands, love your wives, children, submit to your parents. There's no commands for employer employees to take care of the poor. Those are given honest day's work, don't hold back wages. There are commands for churches to take care of the poor. And historically, the church has. Churches have started hospitals and orphanages and medical clinics. There is no command for the government to take care of the poor. The command to the government, to the short, is protect the innocent, punish the guilty. What's happened is the government has usurped the church's role. And the government says, oh, we'll get involved in education and healthcare. No, it's not your job. It's the church's job. There's a great quote from Calvin Coolidge. He says, just because something needs to be done does not mean it's the government's job to do it.
Mm.
So we say, well, we want to take care of the poor. Yeah, the poor should be taken care of, but it's not the government's job to do it. Why? Because whenever you get the government involved, there's a saying, whoever controls the purse strings has the power. Whoever sits on the pile of cash and decides who gets it, they can decide to give it to their supporters and to take it away from those who challenge them. And they'll end up becoming a dictator using somebody else's money to do it.
Bill, I'd like you to address something. Page 224 in your book, you write about the Solomon Asch conformity experiment. What is that?
This is one of the fascinating things. So World War II, Hitler has a propaganda minister named Joseph Goebbels. And he noticed that people had an inherent desire to be accepted by a group. Right? Little kids want to wear the same tennis shoes. Nobody wants to be the one not picked to play on the basketball team. And you know, the girls want to be in the little clique. And you want to be in the group. And their greatest fear is to be rejected from the group. So Joseph Goebbels noticed this and decided to orchestrate these big, huge Colosseum events with 100,000 people in pageantry. And then they would all begin to give their Hitler salute, pledging their allegiance to Hitler at the front. And it would, the salute would work its way to the back. And then everybody in the back in the whole stadium felt pressured to give the Hitler salute, right? And so this was studied after World War II in the Solomon Asch conformity experiment. They did it on college campuses. They would pull 8 students into a room. 7 had been paid ahead of time to be actors. 1 was a naive participant. And the teacher put 2 cards on the front desk. 1 card simply had 1 line on it. The other had 3 lines. 1 the same size, 1 longer, 1 shorter. And they would start with the paid actors. 1 by 1, the paid actors would stand up and convincingly say the shorter line was equal to the other line. And by the time it got around to the 8th naive participant, 30% of them would deny their own eyes and go along with the group. They would doubt their perception. They would say, well, these people must know something I don't know. And whatever the reason is, they would go completely against what they see with their own eyes and go with the group. 30%? And so this study of people wanting to fit in with the group was put into marketing of products. Instead of listing with a list of all the good things the product does, they simply make it look like this is the end product that everybody is using. If you're not using this, you're a country bumpkin, and if you're using it, you're cool and you're in. And so they would get the famous actors and actresses to say, this is what the, you know, we're using. They don't say anything about, you know, the comparison of the product with others. Well, then it got into politics. And it was this idea that you begin to make it look like everybody is accepting a certain candidate and rejecting another. So now it's done online. So the social community, the kids want to be accepted. Now it's online where people like to be liked, and no one wants to be unfriended.
Mm-hmm.
And kids will commit suicide if they're cyber bullied. And so now it's turned into elections where you have committed Democrats or committed Republicans and undecideds. The undecideds do a Google search, the number one search engine in the world, and they have these algorithms that pull up all the positive articles on one candidate and all the negative articles on another candidate. And the person doing the search wants to see what everybody else is saying because they want to fit in. And they can sway votes. And if they can sway just a small percentage, many elections are won by small margins, those algorithms can change the result of the election. Why? Because people want to fit in with the group. And now this is culturally called the honor-shame culture. So in the Far East and in Islamic countries, it's not an absolute right and an absolute wrong. It's what brings you and your honor, you and your family honor is good, and what shames you and your family is bad. And so in Muslim cultures, they'll even kill their own daughter if she shames them in front of their community, their ummah, right? Now we see where Jesus said, you have to come out of the group to follow me. You have to love me more than your mother, sister, brother, anybody else, any other group. And so we take the Bible tells us, stop having fear of man and you only fear God, right? So there was one Christian that wouldn't kneel when they were doing some sports event. And he goes, I only kneel to Jesus. But everybody else says, okay, well, everybody else is kneeling. I want to be accepted by everybody else.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and kneel. You know, everybody, when Nebuchadnezzar blows the trumpet, everybody bow to the statue.
Mm-hmm.
It's only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they had a relationship with the living God, and they had backbones. I'm not going to, God's the only one I care about facing. And so this is an anti-Christian concept, this Solomon Asch conformity experiment. It's used every day in selling of products, but now it's used in pushing agendas. And it is one that has permeated our culture,
mm-hmm.
and the with the whole transgendered agenda and all the other, it's a step-by-step process of you learning how to give up your values and just embrace the state's values.
Yeah, and this is
right.
This is important. And Bill, I'm going to couple this with another quote you have in your book. I'm looking at page 133, and this is Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev, and who reportedly said, "Your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you finally wake up and find that you already have communism." And Bill, these, I would argue that these small doses that you're talking about, even with this Solomon Asch conformity experiment and these others, these doses are regularly given so that all of a sudden you've changed the worldview, and that starting at very young ages in our culture today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced if they decide that the color yellow was bad, and they get all the teachers to say the color yellow was hateful, everybody take your yellow crayons and throw them in the trash. And if anybody, "You're wearing yellow. Oh, you're terrible." I mean, or using the word "it." "Oh, you can't say the word "it" anymore." "Oh, what they want you to do is to throw out common sense, throw out your values, and just believe what the state tells you to believe. And it's always going to change. And so this is the tactic that's been used in the country. And we have to understand that the children are the goal. They understand that they want to program. Hitler had some people come to him and say, "We'll never follow you." And he goes, "I got your kids. You know, I got your children. What are you?" So it's a baton passing off. God chose Abraham because he knew Abraham would teach his children after him to follow the ways of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been doing that. We have been letting the left teach our children in these public schools. And now, you know, Yuri Bezmenov was a Russian KGB agent, defected to America, 1980. He's defected, so he's an American. He's doing an interview. And he says, "KGB, people think of it like James Bond." He goes, "No." He goes, "Our goal was to identify the public opinion molding sectors of the country by name. So the pulpit, the media, the Hollywood, the education. And we would lobby those public opinion molders to move in a socialist direction and hate their own country." And he said that it's a 20-year process, because that's how much time it takes to re-educate an entire generation. He says, "Once it's done, you can take people to the Soviet Union, show them a concentration camp. They will not believe their own eyes."
Wow.
He said the next phase is only 3 to 5 years, where you have the country bankrupt itself by doing irresponsible spending and you weaken the military. The next phase is a 6-month where you have some incident that you whip into a national crisis and get everybody to panic, and then you do your coup and you replace the leader, have a rigged election. You even release false polling data ahead of time, so when you do the voter fraud, people won't challenge it. I mean, they've done 45 countries fell to communism this exact way.
Folks, and we're walking right in those footsteps once again. Bill Federer is our guest. We're going to probe him with just another question or so after the break, and then we'll be opening our phone lines today. We're narrowing our topic to socialism and education today here on Crosstalk, and we'll be back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
How can three persons be one God? Does the Bible support slavery? Is homosexuality acceptable to God? Is it okay for Christians to get hypnotized? Is suicide an unforgivable sin? How can I talk to a Muslim about Jesus? Why was Abel's offering accepted by God when Cain's was rejected? Hundreds of questions just like these are addressed in The Big Book of Bible Answers by respected Bible scholar Ron Rhodes. Consisting of over 400 pages, Ron addresses some of the most common questions about the Bible, about God, Jesus, humanity, salvation, angels and demons, prophecy, the afterlife, ethics, and apologetic issues with clear, concise answers. The Big Book of Bible Answers is available from VCY for a donation of just $17 or more. Simply request it with your donation when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Bill Federer is our guest today. And doesn't Scripture even warn about a time when God will send strong delusion and they shall believe a lie? Well, folks, we're seeing a parallel to that in which people are believing the lie of socialism as indoctrination has been taking place. And it's happening. The rewriting of our school textbooks is taking place. And that indoctrination is going on, Bill, even to the point where, I mean, there's another way of this education, and that is this miseducation that's going on in our society today. And that is, we've got this indoctrination conducting, coming out that historical figures, Columbus, our founders, past presidents are all bad. And so we see unruly riots that are toppling these statues of all types across the nation. That's also a form of education being taken over by socialism.
Well, it is, and you realize that what the politics is downstream from culture, and culture is art, it's statues, it's paintings, and they want to, in the 1960s, the communists said, we want to introduce abstract art so that people no longer have, because politics will follow, and so you push this art that it's okay to be expressive and creative, but basically there's no borders and no boundaries, and it's whatever goes. And this is this concept. You know, when China, in the 3rd century B.C., it was called the Warring States period, and a half dozen kingdoms fighting, one won. And it was the leader was Qin Shi Huangdi. And he was being criticized by doing things differently than they had been done for centuries in these other kingdoms. And he got tired of being criticized by the past, so he decided to destroy the past. And he ordered the burning of all the books in the whole country. They were bamboo annal books. They would take strips of bamboo and then sort of weave them together, and they would write, Chinese characters from top to bottom and so forth. But he destroyed thousands of these. And so his ambassador was, or chancellor was Li. Chancellor Li, and he said, I propose that anyone caught with the classics of history shall be tattooed and sent to build the Great Wall of China, and if they don't turn them in within 30 days, they could be burned and their family burned. And so if it had not been for the classics of Chinese history being buried in the tomb of a previous emperor, then they would not exist to this day. Nobody would have known what happened prior to Qin Shi Huangdi. Now, this is important because Mao Zedong in the 1960s and 70s copied this with his Cultural Revolution. He realized that he had to get the people to detach from their past in order to embrace a communist Chinese future. So this Cultural Revolution, Mao Zedong destroyed the oldest Buddhist temple in China. He destroyed the Great Gates of Beijing intentionally to destroy this, to say, okay, we want everybody to do something new. It's called the People's Republic. Pol Pot did the same thing in Cambodia. So Cambodia, Pol Pot had his Khmer Rouge, which was the red communist, and he had killed anybody that wore glasses. He said if you wore glasses, you could read. If you read, you knew the history, and he wanted to destroy the history. He made 1975 the New Year's Zero, right? And he killed a third of his country.
Nine.
And so this, and then Muslims do this. When Muslims come into a country, what do? Destroy the history.
Yeah.
They come into the Greek areas. They destroy temples. They come into the India. They destroy Hindu temples. They went into Egypt. There was a sultan in 832 AD that destroyed the pyramids and raided all the, and Muhammad himself said, leave no high grave standing nor a work of art without obliterating it. And
Bill
the
Federer,
oldest library in the world was Alexandria, and Khalid Umar burnt every book.
Yeah. And folks, even the rewriting of American history and ditching the old books, I mean, we see that same philosophy going on today. If you'd like to obtain his book, Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control, it's available. Again, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. It's available online, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call right now at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. 9829. We're going to open our phone lines here today, give you opportunity to speak with Bill on this topic of socialism and education. Our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And Bill, as we're waiting for the first calls to come in, I'd like you to hit another topic here on socialism, and that is Darwinism, this whole matter of evolution. This really fits right into the hand of the socialistic agenda, does it not?
It does. And Mao Zedong said Chinese socialism is founded upon Darwin and the theory of evolution. Stalin was actually raised in a religious school, but then he took a class on Darwin, and then he gave up his faith, and then he became... Now, Darwinism presents that things are evolving and getting better, so you need to treat everything in the past as old, and the stuff in the future is going to be better. And so it implies this breaking, this deconstruction of the past, but it's a lie in that the better is nothing more than a totalitarian dictatorship. Socialism is the ultimate bait and switch. It's like a cultural thing where you promise one thing and deliver another. Mm. You promise heaven, you deliver hell. Now, one of the people that was influenced by Darwin around that time was Hegel, this German philosopher. Matter of fact, Hegel influenced Darwin, but it was this idea of evolving the government, and you take the status quo on one corner of a triangle, and you create a really bad problem on the other side, and then people are willing to settle for your answer that's half as bad. And so this concept is called Hegelian dialectics, and so Hitler was influenced by this, and so was Lenin and Stalin, but they would come into countries and intentionally create a crisis so that people would want the crisis solved so fast that they would surrender their freedoms. And we see this used over and over again, this concept of Darwin.
And folks,
of class struggle.
Yeah, and it's going on today. Our lines are absolutely packed. Let's go to Gary calling from Ironwood, Michigan. Gary, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Jim. I was thinking about your earlier comments about 1984. I read that in 1965, 66 in ninth grade, believe it or not. And one of the things that they did was they would always have a TV on, and you couldn't turn it off. There was a camera there, so they could see what you were doing. And when they did the news, they would change the news at will. One day it'd be one thing, you know, there's a war here or whatever. Next day it'd be something else. And they're doing the same thing on our modern TVs.
Gary, thank you for raising that issue, because that's another form of education that's going on, and thank you for raising that. What's coming through the TV, Bill, as far as that indoctrination and that education, whether it be of young people or adults?
Yeah, and the tracking that George Orwell saw, this camera that's always going to be on, and that's what we have now. Mm-hmm. It's with the... modern technology that they can track you everywhere you go. They can record all your searches and all your Google searches and everything. And originally it was to market products, but now if they build a case, a study, they have a file, more or less, a computer file on every person. And they find what your fears are and what your pleasures are, and they can manipulate those to move population groups to adopt their socialist agenda. It's a powerful technology, but George Orwell foresaw the use of that.
Gary, thank you for the call. Holly is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Bill. I wanted to chime in on this subject, as it's something that's pretty important to me and has affected my life. I had two small children in public school, and the beginning of the end for public education for me was learning that they weren't going to teach about the Holocaust anymore because it was too controversial. Mm-hmm. And then they said they weren't going to be teaching cursive anymore because, for whatever reason, I thought, how are they ever going to read any historical documents? you know, and there's so much anti-Semitism and promoting things like abortion and gay marriage and so on. I saw that starting even at the young age of 6 and 7 years old. And so it's just so sad to see that they're indoctrinating our children, and most parents don't have a clue, and it's only going to get worse if we don't start being more helicopter parents and watching over what they're teaching our children.
Thank you, Holly, for that your call today. And she used the term helicopter parents because we know a district, a school district in Tennessee that was trying to have parents sign some kind of covenant or agreement with all this, Zoom education that's going on, the virtual education, the classroom, for parents to sign a release saying they will not be a helicopter parent. They'll not hover over what would the things that are being taught their children. Bill, that was there for a reason. They don't want parents to know.
Yeah, because it's an indoctrination that's taking place. And when you have come, I'm convinced if they shut down all the public schools, you probably have more kids going back to being boys and girls, because that's the primary source of that alternative sexual agenda being put forth. And, the 1984, I keep going back to that, that it is designed to control and influence the person's mind so that they don't have values, that they give up their parents' views and they embrace the state. God cares about each person. He made each person unique, and he wants to let that seed plant and germinate and grow and let the person be what he made them to be. The state doesn't want that. The state wants to decide for you what your life's going to do, and these kids need to have that freedom.
And friends, here's something else, though. And even with homeschooling, and Bill addresses it, we won't get into this here for comment, but page 219, he writes about critics of homeschooling argue that a child taught at home misses out on socialization. But what is socialization other than learning to fit in with a group? Bill breaks it down in his book as well. So very interesting, as they must have them, and with attack against homeschooling at the same time. We've got Wayne calling in from let me get that corrected here. Wayne calling in from Gregory, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. This is a great show. American people just don't understand the true nature and goals of Marxism. And I'd like to read real quickly what the former Commissar of Education declared. Quote, "We hate Christians and Christianity. Even the best of them must be considered our worst enemies. They preach love of one's neighbor and mercy, which is contrary to our principles. Christian love is an obstacle to the development of the revolution. Down with love of our neighbor. We want hate. Only then we can conquer the universe."
Wow. Well, thank you, Wayne, for sharing that. Bill, that's quite a quote.
Yeah, matter of fact, Che Guevara, who was one of the killers for Castro, he wrote a letter to his parents saying, "I have to admit, I love killing." But Che Guevara said, "Hate is a powerful weapon that causes the soldier to break the bounds of human limitation." He says, "Only a people with hate can conquer." And so we have to understand that there is a movement to stir up hate. It's totally anti-Christian.
Yeah.
Jesus says that you love and you forgive. But this movement is using, it's stirring up this negative emotion.
And folks, every day we can put on our news and see what's happening in our communities on that very, very issue. We'll be back in 1 minute with more of your calls. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Our guest today, William J. Federer. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. America is under attack from insurgents. These insurgents are ultimately about revolution, not elections. These insurgents could use pre- and post-election protests to hide their attacks within. They could use the media's explanation of protest and violence as their cover. They could use the distraction of protest and violence to cover their own violence. They could use protest and violence as an opportunity to stage attacks while police and government are distracted. They could use terrorist attacks to look like Islamic terrorist attacks. Or the Islamists could use the terrorist attacks to look like Marxist or anarchist terrorist attacks. They could pose as Trump supporters and carry out violence in order to incite the left to attack the right. They could carry out staged attacks on police and politicians and judges and personalities that are conservative. And they could then attack our critical infrastructure to create riots and looting to overwhelm police departments to carry out more attacks. What people need to understand is these insurgents have been trained in guerrilla warfare and propaganda, and now they're ready.
Just commenting to Bill how fast the hour goes by here, and we've talked about different aspects of this book, and there's still so much more. You can obtain your own copy of this book, Socialism, available for donation of $18. It's available online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call into our main switchboard at 800-729-9829. Let's get right back to the calls. And we have Jose calling in from Cedar Grove. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Just want to relay real quick what's all going on in the in this political scheme of things.
Hello, Jose. Jose.
You there?
Yeah, go ahead. You were cutting out. One more time, Jose. We're going to try for you. Okay, evidently you're in a bad cell area. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. One of the biggest steps towards socialism in America was Obamacare. And if you remember, Jonathan Gruber, one of the architects of Obamacare, said, "We rely on the stupidity of the American voter." I thought that was pretty interesting. We need to remember that.
Thank you for that, Merle. The stupidity of the voter, indeed. So that's going to pick up the. We don't want to go down the Obamacare route too far here today. We're going to hit next. Let's see, Ken in Farmington, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jim. And Mr. Williams, I have a question about something that maybe you can help.
Okay, Ken, you're really cutting out. I don't know if your cell phone or.
Okay.
One more time. We'll give you a try, Ken.
The Beatles influence was talking like a medicine in my sweet Lord.
I am sorry, you're really cutting out there, Ken, and I don't know if you're away from your, if you're on a portable phone or what, but it's just not such that we can understand. Let's go to Russell next in St. Mary's, West Virginia. And Russell, you're
I did want to mention, I caught one word of what he said, the Beatles. And the Beatles did push this part of the deconstruction of, you know, letting go of the past and then pushing a socialist future, and then John Lennon, imagine there's no possessions and no religion too.
Hmm.
And so that's a socialist message that was pushed by John Lennon.
Okay, thank you for that issue. And there's a lot of music coming forth in that regard. Let's go to Linda next in Sardinia, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Linda Hensley. I seen Mr. Federer a few years back over at West Union at the Christian school when David and Glenn Carr were over there.
Linda, let's go right to your question. We're short on time.
What I wanted to say was I read years and years ago that in 1925 the Christians compromised their beliefs in a new earth and evolution got a hold in the schools, which is there today.
Mm-hmm.
And this nation has been indoctrinating our kids for all these years with all this rot. Well, anyway, that's all I got to say.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. And, yes, he did address that evolution aspect. Fletcher in Kentucky.
Well, it's interesting. It was the Catholics and Protestants that were arguing, and the answer proposed was, let's just get all the religion out of the schools. Well, the country was 95% Christian, and they're like, okay, they couldn't imagine that if you pull it out, what's going to fill the vacuum was the secular stuff, and now the transgendered, and now, you know, fundamental Sharia Islam and everything else.
And Fletcher in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Okay, I'll try and make this real quick. So, I just wanted to know what your opinion was on the whole total church aspect. Now, I'll break this down just for a second, because what I mean by that is we have so many denominations, but we're supposed to be all one church, is what the Bible view is. But now, because they have started even new religions that are completely against God, do you think that's part of the same movement?
Thank you for that question. Bill, let me kind of reframe that just a bit. Breaking down religion itself is part of this agenda, is it not?
It is. And Saul Alinsky says the way you defeat Christians is to basically make them live up to their own ideals. In other words, okay, you tolerate each other, right? Well, then if you're going to tolerate, you have to tolerate people that are a little bit off. And then you tolerate people that are a lot off. So finally, you tolerate people that hate you and people that want to kill you. And it's like, wait a second, there's a line there that we have to realize that Jesus was not, to the prideful and the Pharisees, he was really tough. Mm-hmm. He did cleanse the temple, and there's times he preached, they wanted to push him off an edge of a cliff. But we tolerate, we love everybody, but as far as teaching the children, we need to be jealous over what is being taught. Jesus says, if you allow one of these little ones that believes in me to stumble, better than a millstone be put on your back. And we're letting this happen?
And if, no, thank you for Fletcher for the call. Ken, we're going to try you again in West Virginia. You're on the air.
Am I good? Okay. I had a question about the Beatles, because I remember as a child, I used to listen to them, and I didn't even know what they were talking about until I read their lyrics later. Mm-hmm. Songs like My Sweet Lord and Imagine.
Yep.
And actually dealing with the same thing. They're trying to get you to believe that it's all one thing. They would talk about Alleluia, Alleluia, which is Christian. Then they would go Krishna, Krishna, which is Hare Krishna. And then they would also, mention some other chants. And I think a lot of people were duped into the, because, oh, that's the Beatles. That sounds good.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's deceiving your children into following the same thing you guys are talking about today.
Thank you, Ken, for that. And, Bill, those were some of the points that you were making there just a bit ago with that with their music.
Well, somebody that corresponded with John Lennon was Bill Ayers, and lo and behold, he was part of the Weather Underground that did pipe bombs and killed policemen, and he actually hosted the first fundraiser for the previous president. And Bill Ayers said, I am a radical leftist, with a small c, communist. Maybe I'm the last communist who's willing to admit it. The ethics of communism still appeal to me. Because I don't like Leonard as much as early Marx. But this is Bill Ayers that corresponded with the Beatles.
Let's go to Dana in Spokane. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to touch on what your guest had said earlier about making us hate our country. And I know you're running out of time, but it's more than making us hate our country. They're successfully making a whole people group hate themselves. You think about teaching, you see the young white people screaming, I'm white, and I've got a problem, it's in my DNA, I'm a racist.
Yeah.
And they're teaching this in not just elementary, they're teaching it to preschoolers.
Thank you. We're out of time. Bill, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead, respond.
Yeah, Britain went through this. It went through a self-hate period, and that's why it gave up its global empire and ended up letting all the immigrants come in, and a lot of immigrants were from Islamic countries, and now England is more or less Islamic. But the self-hate is, it's like a medical condition.
We've run out of time. Bill, thank you for coming back yet again to talk about socialism, such an important issue for these times.
And it's all in the book.
Folks, you can get it, 800-729-9829. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.